Thank you, Jesus. Turn to your neighbor and tell him this is your opportunity day. There's an opportunity coming your way. Yeah, man. It's happening. No, you're not going to, you don't need to figure it out, you know. Opportunities from God. Awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. We thank you for your anointed word today and what you're about to release. And Lord, bring revelation and impartation to each and every one. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. You know, I was praying this morning, and after I settled and so forth, you know, God already, he already knows what you're going to ask for before you ask. How many of y'all know that? Anyways, I saw, I had a vision, and I saw, like, an opening in the earth. It was a large opening, probably, I don't know, 200 feet round, something like that. And there was a, I couldn't see who was holding the rope, but there was a person that was holding onto the rope. I couldn't tell if he was trying to get up, but he was holding on a rope. And he was leaning back because he was like maybe a few feet down into this hole. And I said, Lord, what is this? He said, there are those who are holding on. They're still holding on to fear. And they can't let go and trust me that I would catch them. I said, whoa. So he said, I want you to do a teaching today called Fear's Connections. Everyone say Fear's Connections. See, fear is connected to everything, to this world and this reality. Because we live in a false reality. Fear. Fear is the major connection to everything. And it began to unload all kinds of stuff. But anyways, go to Genesis 3. And I'm not going to go into a whole ordeal of what they did in the garden. Hallelujah. But I can tell you that in the spirit, the Bible is symbolic. And if you can't begin to interpret the symbols in the Bible, you'll misunderstand what God is saying. It's very vitally important. And that can only be done when you're spirit-filled. You cannot understand it with the carnal mind. And there are spirit-filled people that still don't get it because they don't go deep enough. But in Genesis 3, in verse 6, it says, when the woman saw that the tree, now the tree is a spirit. It's a spiritual being of power and deception. That tree was known as Lucifer. They called the serpent, the devil, whatever. When she saw that it was good for food, in other words, God says, do not partake of the delicacies of the wicked. In other words, something that you eat is something you partake of. When you speak, you eat. You speak, you eat your words. Amen? So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and the tree was desirable to make one wise, that's called lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, pride of life. She took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Like I said, I'm not going to get into the whole deal about them having sex and offsprings in the garden. That's what everybody got thrown out of the pool. Hello. 7. Then the eyes of both of them were open, but they actually closed to the spirit realm. That's why you and I are born blinded to the things of the Spirit. And they knew that they were naked. Why? Because the glory of God was their covering. When they disobeyed God, that glory lifted. And they sold fig leaves, because they knew they were what? Naked. Self was now birthed. Self was not birthed before that. And they sewed fig leaves to cover them and make themselves covering. What does everyone do? Try to cover up their stuff. Amen? And they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They heard it because they could no longer see God no more. See, they used to be able to see him and the angels and everything. And Adam, his wife, and his wife hid themselves. They hid themselves from the presence of God. Why? Because the presence of God lifted from them. And now they feared the presence of God. They were afraid. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, "Where are you?" Like he didn't know where he was. Amen. He wanted to see what kind of reaction or response Adam was going to release. So Adam said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was what? Afraid. Afraid. Because I was naked and I hid myself." Again, the tree, spiritual being of power and deception. To eat is to partake. And we talked about eating, do not eat the delicacies of the wicked. Their disobedience removed them from the presence of the Lord, blinded them from the true reality, and connected them to the false reality we live in right now. So by the Spirit, now again, there's a difference between the reverence of God, amen, fear of the Lord, there's a difference. But by the spirit of fear, everything in this world is connected. The spirit of fear connects everything to this world. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. And his power is what? Fear. Fear. Look at everything that's going on in the world today. It's all promoting fear. Fear. Now, fear does many things. Fear is the main connection to everything. In 2 Timothy chapter 1. The spirit of fear is the connector to the world's deceptions. I'm going to say that again. The spirit of fear is the connector to the world's deceptions. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7. "Therefore I remind you to what? Stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Stirring yourself up. Praying in tongues. Stirring yourself up. Praise and worship. Stirring yourself up. 25 push-ups does not stir you up. It may wake you up, but it ain't going to stir you in the spirit. "Therefore, I remind you to stir your blessed assurance up. For God has not given us a what? Spirit of fear, but power and of love and of a sound mind." Stir yourself up by praying, again, in the spirit, worshiping the King, to overcome the connector of influence. The spirit of fear will weaken, confuse, and take your peace. It is blocking the ability to surrender fear. Now, we have a choice, don't we? So it's interfering with a choice. The reason why people don't surrender is because fear is there. It's a demon. It's a spirit. Does it make the person bad? No, it makes them deceived. It is the spirit of fear. Remember, the two major spirits, deception and fear. That's why Satan controls the world with deception, and he holds the world in fear. Everything is connected to fear. Fear connects everything in this world. And what's it producing? A false reality. Anybody ever seen the movie Matrix? If you haven't, watch it. Because it's a reality. What pill you want, the blue one or the red one? Hello. Matthew 6:25. You know, people are hanging between both worlds, the eternal world and the physical world. And they're hanging by fear because they won't let go. Matthew 6, verse 25. Let's speak it together. "Therefore I say to you, do not" what? Worry. Is worry fear? Yeah. "About your life." Don't worry about your life. "What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body. What you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they?" Which of you worrying can add one cubit to his stature? Did you ever notice that when somebody is... Now, I want you to know that oppression is also associated with fear. But their countenance changes. You can tell when someone's miserable, can't you? You can tell when someone's joyful. You can tell when someone's deceived. You can look right in their face and you can see, because that spirit will express himself through the human character. Verse 28. So why do you what? Worry about clothing. Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Oh, you little faith. Now, fear dismantles faith. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? What shall we cook? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Worry is fear. Now, people try to cover it all up with other words. I'm just concerned. Oh, you're freaking out, man. You're fearful. People fear that they won't succeed. They fear that they're going to fail. So if they fear that they're going to fail, they also fear if they're going to succeed sometimes, because fear of loss, fear of sickness and disease, fear of death. That's all connected to this world. We're not connected to this world. That's why we need to do that disconnect prayer a lot. Because that disconnect prayer will get you disconnected from that spirit of fear which connects us to this world. And Philippians 4:4, please. Rejoice in the Lord when? Oh, most people only rejoice when they feel like it. Rejoice in the Lord always. Ooh. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for everything. No, be anxious for what? Nothing. Is anxious fear? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the what? Peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ. You know, people. There are people that still, I got to know everything. The only thing you need to know is him. People are they're so intellectually minded that they can't trust God. They got to understand it all. It's got to be a blueprint before them. Those are individuals who cannot be trusted, because they're always led by how they feel. How they feel. How they feel. Well, this is how I feel. I don't care how you feel. That doesn't move the hand of God. How you feel. But Lord, this is how I feel. Yeah, tell me something else. Get your feelings out of the way. Amen. Fear is a feeling, not only a spirit. But it's a feeling. It's an emotion. That means people live out of the soul instead of the spirit. They're still living out of their head and their carnal mind and not the spirit. And there's a difference. And God is shaking the world right now. He's bringing not wrath, but judgment. Because nobody escapes the wrath of God. But he's bringing judgment. What's he shaking it for? So people can be exposed of all their what? Strongholds. All our connections to the world. Amen? Is everybody okay? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good, of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. In other words, focus on those things. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be what? With you. See, when you lose your peace, you got fear. Fear is a stealer of peace. 1 Samuel 15:23. And we'll start at 22. Now Samuel was talking to King Saul. So Samuel said to him, he said, has the Lord a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? In other words, your works don't mean nothing compared to obeying God's voice. Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as of what? Sin of witchcraft. Why? Because it's influenced by spirits. And stubbornness is an iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from what? From being king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words, because I what? Oh, he feared the what? Wrong fear. He feared the people and obeyed their voice. So fear will influence your choices, won't it? Now, therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me, that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel said to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And Samuel turned around to go away. Saul seized the edge of his robe and tore it. So Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie nor relent, for he is not a man that he should what? Relent. Then he said, I have sinned, yet honor me now, please, before the what? Elders of my people. What was he afraid? What people might think of him. And before Israel, return with me, that I may worship the Lord your God. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Agag, the king of the Amalekites, here to me. So Agag came to him casually, and Agag said, surely the bitterness of death has passed. But Samuel said, as your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women. And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house of Gibeth of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Saul until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. Now, Saul was supposed to have gone and killed all everybody in this one tribe. They were, because they're Nephilim. They were offsprings of giants. So when God was sending his armies out in the Old Testament, it's because they had the Nephilim line. Their bloodline was their offsprings. They were mingled with the giants and so forth. And they were rebellious towards God. Amen? And so when he would send them to kill them, but Saul was supposed to go kill them, all of them, children, everything, because they were offsprings of the Nephilim race. And Saul brought back the king and the cattle, livestock. And his reasoning was, well, here's the king. And then I brought back all his livestock and everything so we could sacrifice it to our God. But he said, your God. That's what he told Samuel. So we can sacrifice it to your God. See, Saul really had no relationship with God. Samuel did. The only relationship Saul had was with Samuel, not God. And so that's why Samuel took the king, Agag, and cut him up. He said, this is what you were supposed to do, but I'm going to have to do it but now you've been dismissed from your position as being king because God can't trust you no more. Why? Fear leads you. You're too much connected to fear. Can't be trusted. Hallelujah. Go to 1 Samuel 16, verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. And a what? A distressing spirit from the Lord troubled him. You know what a distressing spirit is? Fear. And Saul's servant said to him, surely a distressing spirit from God is troubling you. Let our master now command your servants who are before you to seek out a man who is a skillful player on the harp. And it shall be that he will play it with his hand, and when the distressing spirit of God is upon you, you shall be what? Well, even his servants knew about demons. And they knew that their king, ex-king that's been dismantled, who was still king yet, he hadn't been removed yet, but his office has been declined from God. And he anointed King David. But so he, what does he do? He sends David over to play for King Saul, because David now had the anointing of the king. So to maintain the position of the king, the anointing had to be there. Amen? Verse 17, so Saul said to his servants, provide me a man who can play well and bring him to me. Then one of the servants answered and said, look, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bithlehemite, who is skillful in playing, a mighty man of valor, a man of war, prudent in speech and handsome person. And the Lord is with him. Why? Because Saul had anointed him king because God told him to. Therefore, Saul sent messengers to Jesse and said, send me your son David, who is with the sheep. And Jesse took a donkey loaded with bread, skin of wine, and a young goat, and sent them by his son David to Saul. So David came to Saul and stood before him, and he loved him greatly, and he became his armor bearer. Then Saul sent to Jesse, saying, please let David stay before me, for he has found favor in my sight. And so it was, whenever the spirit of God, or that distressing spirit, that demon, was upon Saul, that David would take a harp and play it with his hand, then Saul would become what? Refreshed and well, and the distressing spirit would depart from Saul. But he would come back again, wouldn't he? Does everybody see that this distressing spirit is fear? So the distressing presence over him is fear, which connected Saul to the world. The world is ruled by who? Satan's kingdom. But when God's presence comes, this is how you get rid of the spirit of fear, besides speaking it to command you. But without the presence of God, without the anointing of God, these demons will not listen to you. They'll laugh at you. But I've been a Christian 30 years. I've gone to college. I got a degree in theology. And I'm full of religion. It's got nothing to do with it. It's the presence of God. It's everything. That's why people backslide and go into addiction again, because they have not maintained a level of presence. See, when those of who've been out there that have been addicted and serving darkness and done all kinds of stuff for a long time, when God pulls them out of darkness, believe me, the powers of darkness, the demons, want them back. They don't want to cut them loose. They want, why? Because they can do too much damage to Satan's kingdom. Believe me, these demons used to follow me. There were shapeshifters that used to follow me. We would go to church and they would meet us out of church. And they were witches. And this was after I got saved. I was a baby in Christ. In fact, one tried to seduce me and deceive me. Thought I was helping this person. Had a Bible and everything. They were just stranded on the side of the road. Oh, the Bible was on the dashboard and everything. And she knew how I felt. Why? She gave me a point of contact bracelet, which I didn't know. It was an accursed item. See, accursed items will connect you to these demons too. But God rescued me because he's faithful. Amen. Let's go to Philippians 3 and verse 7, please. Paul wrote this to the Philippians, and what things were gained to me, these I have counted what? Lost for the Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I may gain Christ. Not many people count their losses as rubbish. They're still trying to recover them. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Woohoo! Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us, as many as are mature, have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Again, the fear of loss. It's a big one. Unable to surrender. When people, remember, the spirit of fear is trying to prevent people from getting disconnected from the world. It blocks them. The fear of loss. It's a big one. It's unable. These individuals are not, they are unable to surrender and maintain a life of surrender. They maintain a life of survival. A life of survival is fear, and it keeps an individual connected to the world. Remember Jesus showed up in the water when all the disciples were in a boat? What the first thing he said was, fear not. Don't fear, because they thought they saw a ghost. Well, in one aspect they did, actually. But it was Jesus. James 4, verse 1, let's speak it. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have, you murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet you do not have because you don't ask. And when you do ask, you don't get it because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures or fears. Adulterers and adulteresses, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whoever, therefore, wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. So people bound by fear become friends of God. I mean, friends of the world. And they become enemies of God, not even knowing it. Why? Because God can't trust them. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealousy, but he gives more grace. Now, grace is not favor. Grace is the plan of escape. Amen? Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Well, what protects pride? Fear. Fear. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn, weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. Pride, protected by fear, and both are connectors to the world. The spirit of pride and fear are connectors to the world. You know, they call, the word talks about a haughty look. It's a person filled with pride. It's a haughty look. In other words, you can tell by their countenance. Matthew 24, verse 3. Now, as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us when these things will be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age. And Jesus answered and said to him, take heed that no one what? Deceives you. Satan's greatest weapon is what? Deception. For many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Is there wars and rumors of wars now? I'm telling you, it's crazy. Even believers are taking scriptures and bringing fear on people. I'm watching it. I'm seeing it. Oh, we're not going to make it. Jesus is coming tomorrow. He ain't coming tomorrow. He's already here. Hallelujah. See that you're not troubled or you're not freaked out. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilence, and earthquakes in various places. Is that happening? Yes, but we're not to fear. We're not accounted for the wrath of God. We're heavenly bound, not earthly bound. All these things that are beginning of sorrows. Boy, I'll tell you, Hollywood's sorrowing right now. See, they had an event that they mocked God 48 hours prior. It's called the Golden Awards of the, something like that, yeah, for the actors. And they had these things up on the screen behind them about what was the best, this, that, and what. They had God last and they had zero. They mocked God. 48 hours later, Hollywood burned. God ain't playing no more. Because we're at the end time, meaning the beginning of the end. It's happening. Now, however it started on fire, it don't matter. But come on, let's get real. You think those people are ignorant? They are. The mayor and the governor, let's be real. You know what they did? They moved all the water to save a little fishy. And when it sent it back into the ocean. So when these firemen went to go use and pull up to these fire hydrants, there was no water in them. Can you imagine that? No water in the fire hydrant. Ran out. These people lost. Let me tell you. Thank God many of them escaped. Okay. But some of them didn't. But now you have all these millionaires and billionaires that have lost their houses there. Now they're standing there going, wait a minute here. I guess our governor or mayor is a moron. See, these people are so blinded by their wealth and fame and power in their mirror. They're not looking in the mirror to see who's in their mirror. They're looking at themselves in the mirror. But God is exposing them. Now they're all going on TV. Now they're going on the news and calling this guy an idiot, this, that, whatever. Even Mel Gibson lost his home. But he was exposing. He didn't, I mean, really. Now, this is going to probably collapse many of the insurance companies. You know, when the hurricanes hit Florida, many insurance companies left and left people stranded. That's why I tell people, if you own your own home, don't buy insurance. Just put your money away. You can repair everything yourself. For what you spend on money insurance at the end of the year or all of those years, hallelujah, you can repair your own stuff. Now they have warranties for homes, so you can use them too. But anyways, we are such at a time right now where the enemy is using, and again, I've seen believers use these scriptures and bring fear on people. To keep them, and they don't even know it, to bring fear or to keep them connected. It says there in verse 8, all these things that are beginning of sorrows, then they will deliver you up to tribulation and will kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. They're trying to kill us now. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. That's happening now. That many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. Man, they have a good message, but it ain't true. And because of lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So we're not at the end yet. We're at the beginning of the end. Amen. Many promote fear with scripture, calling it doomsday. just to get people to get to their websites and promote their agendas. Psalm 103, verse 1, please. Bless the Lord, all my soul, my mind, my will, my emotions, my imagination, conscience, subconscious, attitude, motive, and desires. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, all my soul, and forget not his what? Benefits. He's got benefits. See, you got to tell God, Lord, you know what? I know I have a covenant with you, and I want to remind you of the benefits. And you're a daddy that doesn't lie. Who forgives your iniquities, praise God. Who heals all your diseases. Now, what will nullify this? Fear. Who redeems your life from destruction and crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. How many know oppression is fear? He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. That's a different fear. That's reverence, honor, and respect. And as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who reverence him. For he knows our frame, and he remembers that we are dust. Dust in the wind. Again, fear. How many people are fear of sickness. They're fear of death. They're exchanging the fear of the Lord for the fear of torment. Amen? It is a tormenting fear. Acts chapter 10, verse 37. But again, this is the move of the enemy. The flood of the enemy is releasing fear. It's a flood of fear to reconnect people to the world. And in this is to disconnect them from the presence of God. Acts chapter 10, verse 37. Let's speak it, please. That word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who what? Were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Who were oppressed by the devil. Amen. The anointing heals those oppressed. Oppressed is the area where a person is taken captive. And they are taken captive in fear. They're oppressed because they've been taken captive in fear by the devil. What does he do? He blinds, he misleads, and he blocks the entrance of God's presence. The spirit of fear will block the entrance of God's presence. He's a pusher. The spirit of fear pushes. The spirit of God leads. That's why people go back to addiction and stuff. He pushes them back. Amen? Hallelujah. Pushes into addiction with false relief of fear. False release of fear and oppression. You know, many people are afraid to come off of the streets because they don't want to go to detox. There's a fear of what they have to go through. So we're praying for detox technology. Where a person can get detox instead of 5 days, 5 hours. It's out there. They won't release it yet, but we're going to get it one day, soon. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21. Let's speak it. Therefore, if anyone does what? Cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Flee also youthful lusts, but pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. So God's saying, man, remember, associations bring what? Impartations. But avoid foolish, ignorant disputes, knowing that they generate strife. And a servant of the Lord must not quarrel, but be gentle to all, able to teach, patient, in humility, correcting those who are in oppression. If God perhaps will grant them what? Repentance, so that they may know the truth. Why? Because repentance activates the blood and then allows the spirit to go through. That they may come to their senses and escape the snare of the devil, having been taken captive by the devil to do his will. Wow. Mind-binding spirit is a spirit of fear. Blocks the entrance to freedom until true repentance comes. Fear promotes demonic agenda. Fear promotes demonic agenda. Fears. Connections to the world is incredible. I could go on and on and on. And I'm going to close at 1 John chapter 4, verse 12, please. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this we know that we are abide in him and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as a Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been what? Perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves what? Torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If someone says, I love God and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen? And this is the commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. Fears, connection, many of them to the world. Be careful. It's a warning. Use wisdom. Stay filled with the Spirit. Stay connected. And let the presence of God break every yoke of bondage. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. Let your word be sealed by the anointing and grow and bear fruit for your glory as we prepare our hearts for communion in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.